new CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount+.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control all desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Parking lot, Total Ice Rink, downtown Nashville, Total Ice Rink. Ice everywhere, management draped in copious layers of Lululemon somewhere south of town. Nobody in the office except Bradley the associate, who I think lives here at this point. Director Collins here by sled, I'm told. Producer Jesse here, I'm here. They're not keeping us off the air tonight. Late Kick is live, jam-packed, high atop an icy downtown Nashville, Tennessee, Alabama. What's happening? Well, I know. I think I'm going to make some sense of it tonight. Yeah, a lot of change going on in Tuscaloosa. A lot for the worse, I guess, but at the very least, we've got change happening. A lot of people are applauding it because a lot of you are dusting off pom-poms you hadn't been able to wave in their face in the better part of two decades. So we will discuss that tonight. Jim Harbaugh, I would really appreciate a heads up from the Chargers if they're going to hire this guy. I asked them publicly the other day, will you just let me know if you're going to hire him? Unprofessionally, might I add, they have not responded to me. Florida State bashing is still happening, and I have not addressed it. But tonight, what is it, January 18th? I think it is time that we address it. I got some takes on that. I have got someone just flat out calling me bad for college football. I don't know why, but they have. So that will be among the radical takes portion of the segment tonight, or the show tonight. Kyleen, Texas is tuned in. Kingman, Arizona. Great train watching town there, Kingman, Arizona. Greenwood, Mississippi. Cave Springs, Georgia. I appreciate it. One minor little suggestion here. I guess it's more of a request. I do this about once a month. It's called begging. And here's the way it goes. 51% of our viewers / listeners are unsubscribed to the YouTube channel and podcast. I'm asking you to subscribe because that's the way we keep the show free. That's it. That's all. I'm done begging. They don't really give me a bell to ring. There's not a little pot for you to drop your sub in. That's about as good as I can do. Okay, so let's make some sense of this thing, as much sense as can be made of college football. Did you see Congress getting involved in college football today? I am the Care Bear jumping in front of the truck every time I see Congress getting involved in college football. But anyway, that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. I just kind of, my mind dovetailed for a second. So Alabama's having some portal attrition, huh? For the first time in the modern era, Alabama being victimized by the mechanisms that make up college football 2024. Here's basically what happened if you've been living in a cave. Saban dominated. Saban basically threw the entire sport out the window, down 15 stories into the parking lot. But the rest of the sport didn't die. They've just been in the parking lot doing push-ups, and now they've stormed back up the stairs once he retired. And they're all ready to exact their pound of flesh on Alabama and new head coach Kalen DeBoer, who just walked into a hornet's nest. That hornet's nest also includes such rules as anyone's allowed to leave your team, but you can't really go get anyone right now because the portal window's closed. That's college football. So this is, on one hand to me, the least shocking turn of events ever. Legendary head coach leaves. some players want to leave because he's not there anymore, and that wouldn't really matter who got plugged in as new head coach. That was going to happen. So that's not shocking, but it is jarring. It's jarring to see Caleb Downs' name in the transfer portal. It's pretty jarring to see not just Downs, but Caden Proctor's name in the transfer portal. Right now, Jesse tells me the number 1, number 2, number 4, number 19, and number 29 players in the overall portal rankings are there by way of Alabama. They've lost 26 kids to the portal overall. Now, some of that was before Saban retired. Some of that was going to happen anyway. But Caleb Downs, for instance, was not going to happen. That is due in large part to Nick Saban's retirement. So anyway, yes, Saban retires. New head coach comes in. Doesn't matter who it is. You're going to lose a lot of guys. That much, I think, is obvious. I do want to give you my thoughts. A lot of people were asking, hey, what you think about this? Well, I think it's not great for Alabama in the short term. Short term and long term, two different things here. So there's a take floating around out there that's pretty popular. I've seen a lot of people spout it off. I want to tell you what the take is. I'm trying to stay calm. And I want to give you my thoughts on it. Because you know how there are some kind of popular takes that float around that you look at and you say, I am so tired of hearing that. Well, this happens to be one of those for me. So, a lot of folks watching these players leave Alabama, and they hadn't really been able to hate on Bama for a while, so they're just popping off at the mouth any way they see fit. And one of those takes has been, oh, I guess they weren't loyal to the brand after all. I guess there's not really much special about Bama. Those kids were just committed to Nick Saban. Well, some of them were loyal to the brand. Some of them are still there. But I take your point. A lot of guys were there to play for Nick Saban. Here's my follow-up question. Not in 1994, but in 2024, could you point me to the program out there that kids are committing to regardless of head coach? Or, to put a finer point on it, in 2024, could you point me to any program out there where a high-profile coach could leave and everyone just stays? I was talking earlier today with the staff. I think Stanford has that. Ironically enough, they're well off the beaten playoff path, but Stanford is a place where if I got an offer and my priorities are in a certain alignment, I'm going there no matter if my sister's the head coach because it's a degree from Stanford. And so if the head coach at Stanford either gets fired or retires, yeah, it's a different ballgame there. But I'm talking about perennial playoff contending teams. Okay, right now, Sark leaves Texas. Right now, Kirby leaves Georgia. Right now, Ryan Day leaves Ohio State. Harbaugh may leave Michigan, like in the next 5 minutes or the next 5 days, or who knows. But you point to me in 2024, the brand out there that kids are blindly, magnetically pulled towards. I don't think it exists. You know, Bama is one of the case studies here. They won't be the last case study, trust me, of historic, iconic brands that not only you grew up watching, but your dad did, and your grandfather did, that all of a sudden kids are committing to for reasons other than, you know, what the history books taught them. So that's the current status of college football. I don't have to like it. You don't have to like it. It kind of is what it is, though. I just think that there probably are coming times down the line where other programs suffer the same fate, and you'll come to realize, yeah, you were right about Bama. You were just right about the sport when you said that. So this isn't really a Bama thing to me. It's a college football thing. But that's the first take. The other take, this one's wild now. It's predictable, but it's wild. I was doing a national appearance, not to put too fine a point on it. And I was asked within the last couple of days, try not to throw this show under the bus because I go on there a lot. I was asked, with all these players leaving Alabama, I got asked, do you think that they made the right hire in Kalen DeBoer? Yeah, I think they made the right hire. I have been in the SEC for a long time. I've been around SEC coaches for a long time. The ones who win the battles constantly, the ones who dominate the portal, the ones who dominate in recruiting, they're covered in scars. Those are the ones who win. They are covered figuratively in scars. The way this conference operates is not for the weak at heart. It's different. It's a unique culture. It's a unique ecosystem unto anywhere else in college football. There are some guys who have grown up down here who go elsewhere. Lanning does it at Oregon. But recruiting in the entirety on the West Coast pales in comparison to how intense the knife fight is down here. Kalen DeBoer just walked into it. And I'd imagine he's got some fresh scars on him right now. I think there is a major, major misread by a lot of people on who that guy is. A lot of folks look at him as some dude who came from the Pacific Northwest and he's in the SEC now and he's going to get chewed up and spit out. I don't think that's it at all. I think right now they're probably cut. They're bleeding in Alabama a little bit, but that'll turn. I mean, you know, that'll turn. Like, there'll be a day down the road, a few months, where spring football started and they've got all the momentum on their side, couple of commitments. You're hearing good things about the coaching staff. Then the post-spring portal opens up and then summer recruiting starts to pay dividends for them. There'll be plenty of times down the road where Alabama's got such momentum that it makes you laugh to look back on what you said and what other people said about him in early to mid-January. But here's what's going to last. What's going to last is some of the misconceptions about Kalen DeBoer being a fish out of water down here. I don't think he is at all. I think that guy is perfectly cut out to, once he gets his feet under him and once that staff gets its collective feet under it, to thrive in the SEC. Doing things by the SEC code is just different than the way it's worked elsewhere, and it's probably a shock to the senses right now. And I'd imagine a couple of things. I'd imagine DeBoer's walked in down here, and he's sat on the on-ramp and thought the traffic was going 80, and it's going about 110, and it takes you by surprise. It's like a cold tub plunge. It takes you by surprise to see how things really operate. To truly get behind that SEC curtain for the first time is a shock to the senses. And it swallows a lot of people up. But the ones who are cut out for it all of a sudden start to realize something about themselves. And there's this pulse of adrenaline, and there's this gritting of the teeth that you may have never quite felt, all due respect, at Washington or Indiana. And all of a sudden you look around, and there are famous examples in the past of guys that get knocked down early and then they get back up. And then, oh snap, did he just pull a sledgehammer out? Yeah, he did. I think down the road, I'm bookmarking a lot of stuff. Mid-January 2024. I'm just laughing at it. I don't know the future any better than some of you. Maybe I do better than some of you, but I'm bookmarking a lot of stuff because I have a feeling in the not-too-distant future, once they've dusted themselves off, him and that new staff, you'll find Kalen DeBoer fits in a whole lot more seamlessly in the SEC than apparently a lot of people think he will. So right now, got big-time players walking out the door. They are going to have to overhaul their roster. In some cases, they're going to have to do that anyway. I actually have a lot of excitement about the coaching staff he's brought in. Dave Bartu, who we have a lot of respect for on this show, very integral in a lot of coaching searches out there. Bartu also is second to none when it comes to being able to accurately grade coaches, and I don't just mean head coaches, I mean pretty much anyone who's ever put a whistle around their neck in D1 or D2 or D3. And I was listening to him the other day, and he made a really good point. He said, look at the head coach OC-DC combination, which for Alabama now is Kalen DeBoer and Kane Womack, the defensive coordinator, coming there by way of South Alabama. And, of course, Ryan Grubb comes to Tuscaloosa from Washington. He said that may be the best head coach OC-DC combo in the SEC this coming year. What caliber of player will they have to operate with? I don't know. I have no clue. Those kids can still leave for the next couple of weeks if they want to. But long term, I think this is a really, really interesting dynamic. I just happen to see it through maybe a little different prism than some people do, which is fine, because I've been wrong before. We'll probably be wrong again. I don't think I am on this, though. We'll see. Here's one that I have no idea about. I have no idea how this is going to turn out, but we do need to talk about it. What is the latest with Jim Harbaugh? Is he leaving Michigan? It didn't feel like it, then it did feel like it, now it does feel like it, and I would lean yes. So here's the most up-to-date information we have. He is interviewed officially for the Atlanta Falcons head coaching job, which as of this hour feels like Bill Belichick, I guess. I don't know. My pro correspondent's in the other room. Atlanta could make a decision while we're on the air, for all I know. The LA Chargers have also interviewed Jim Harbaugh. That's the one it feels like he'd have more traction with if the NFL trigger is pulled. So it seems like, just sticking the thermometer in certain Michigan circles, it seems like there's as much a vibe that he's going to be gone as there has been. Now, I was listening to Sam Webb from the Michigan Insider talk earlier today. There's no one that is closer to the situation than he is and has been on all of this Harbaugh coaching search stuff for multiple years. And he made a couple of good points. The first one was, there have been different kind of flirtations between Harbaugh and the NFL. Sometimes it's been him pursuing, and sometimes it's been them pursuing him, like with the Broncos. So he said, this feels a whole lot more like the former than the latter. It feels like he is trying to pursue, he's trying to get a job. And then you've also got the sublayer of the Michigan contract that is apparently on the desk, and you got Jim Harbaugh wanting certain things put in or certain things taken out. And so here's where my mind's at. Number one, like everyone else, I'm curious, if Harbaugh does go to the NFL, do they elevate from within? Is Sherrone more the guy, just like he was when they needed an interim when Harbaugh was suspended this year? Or do they conduct a national search? And I use air quotes there because it wouldn't be a search at all. If that's the path they intend to go, they already know who their guy would be. We just don't. There's some speculation, but we're in the dark a little bit on that. So that's the first, and you could find very reputable people who would give you two different takes on that. I am going to be someone who you can decide whether you think I'm reputable or not. I'm just going to be the one who says, I don't have any inside information on that. So I'll just be in the wait-and-see category along with the rest of you. However, I want to go back to this whole Michigan-Jim Harbaugh contract negotiation thing for a second. I know a lot of people have had fun at Michigan's expense this year. They've had way more fun at your expense. That is a national championship trophy in the B-roll that you just saw their head coach hoisting. So whether he stays or whether he goes, they've got that. And whether the NCAA decides to come down on him in the future and retroactively tell you something didn't happen or not, you know it happened. I was there at the game. You know that Michigan just won the national title. So whether you think it's legitimate or whether you want to cast aspersions, as Meemaw would say, that's your prerogative. Not really here to tell you how to think one way or the other. But there are some people who are reading these reports about Jim Harbaugh and how he is insistent on there being language in his contract with Michigan that gives him kind of immunity if sanctions come down in the future. And of course, you look at that and you say, well, if you're innocent, why do you need that? I know that sounds good, guys. That's what we call bumper sticker logic. And bumper sticker logic is stuff that makes sense when you just look at it driving by you and you don't really think about it critically. This is not a defend Michigan or Jim Harbaugh thing. I'm telling you, if I were Jim Harbaugh, if you were Jim Harbaugh, and you actually understood the mechanisms of how this stuff works, you'd be doing the same thing. Whether you thought you were innocent or not, you'd be doing the same thing, because here is how this actually works. A head coach does not handle this stuff. Again, whether you're guilty or innocent, a head coach doesn't really handle this stuff. You've got legal types, and you've got administrative and bureaucratic types that handle it. And here's the thing. Again, Sam Webb did really, really good reporting on this today. Thought he hit the nail on the head. It could be that Jim Harbaugh's looked at some of the decisions the University of Michigan has made, whether it be dropping a lawsuit or whether it be agreeing to admit to this infraction or that infraction, and he may look and say, I didn't want to agree to any of that. I don't think we did any of that. Now, whether he's right or wrong, fact remains, he could feel that way. And I could feel that way if I were in his position, or you could feel that way. So what would you do? Well, what you would do is you would tell your representation, I'm not signing a deal with these people, no matter how much I love this university, how attached I am to it. I'm not signing a deal unless, A, you guarantee me that I get final say on everything related to this program, which of course they'd say no to, or B, you put language in this contract that exempts me from any kind of monetary or punitive damages related to what they agree that they're guilty of in the future. Makes sense to me. That's not a, I said earlier, that's not a Bama thing. That's a college football thing. This is not a Harbaugh thing. That's a common sense thing. You can think he's guilty all day and twice on Sunday, or you can think he's innocent. I'm telling you, regardless, if you've ever dealt with the court system and understood how plea deals actually work, or if you've ever dealt with an NCAA investigation and dealt with legal representation from your university, can you imagine, take Harbaugh out of it, just pretend it's a generic investigation into Pate State, and I'm sitting at the table with my AD and my legal representation and 15 of their assistants lined up all the way down the table, and they're accusing me of X, and I'm saying, we didn't do X, and then legal representation is telling me, yeah, but if you stonewall them on X, they're going to go try and find Y and Z. So we can either do one of two things. We can agree to X. We did X. We're going to have minor penalties handed down. Or we can say, nope, there's nothing there. We're fighting you on this. And we can risk them finding Y and Z. My representation is going to tell me, just admit to X. Well, I didn't do X. You know, and if I didn't, and you guys are going to agree to it, it's not going to reflect poorly on you. It's going to reflect poorly on me. And so if you want to then go in another room with the same people and negotiate a contract extension with me, do you think for a second I'm going to let you give me a contract that could be totally voided down the road if NCAA sanctions are handed down to this program when the whole time they could be handed down because you agreed to it in some back room that I'm not even welcome in. I'm not even involved in the conversation. So that's how I see that. Like, I don't think I see that the way most other people do. That's not a Harbaugh thing. Like I said, that's just a college football thing. Will he take anyone with him if he does take that Chargers job? Curious about that. I've seen the reports about Jesse Minter. I've seen the reports, but they're just reports. No one really knows. He is notoriously close-lipped about that. The Michigan roster, we've seen what's happened with Bama, but Bama lost an all-time iconic head coach and imported a new one. If Michigan loses Harbaugh and their game plan is to elevate Sharon Moore, there's a lot of continuity in the program there. One of theirs is getting the job. I wonder if the bleeding will be nearly as intense from a roster standpoint. I don't think it would be. That's my feel on it. Now, if they go hire fill in the blank, I don't even want to speculate because I know some of those names would throw the comment section into a blender. But if they want to do that, risk-reward at that point, pro and con. Academy Sports and Outdoors, a place where there's all reward and no risk. You walk in Academy Sports and Outdoors, and what's the risk? They won't have the right flavor of Big League Chew in the checkout line? Doubt it, first off. Secondly, I'm a grape guy, by the way, so they've always got grapes stocked up because apparently a lot of you don't like that. But there was a lot of sledding done in and around the Nashville area this past week. I live near the state capitol. That's about as specific as I'd like to get. The studio is downtown. We're near the state capitol. There's a massive hill. That building's been there since like the 1400s, and the city's been built around it. And so it was like all-time sledding conditions the other day. I mean, you would struggle to find better conditions at Breckenridge or Winter Park or Vail than you had on the hill at the state capitol the other day. So much Academy gear out there. And some of it I can't definitively prove to you was purchased at Academy, but I'm pretty sure it was. And then what happens at the state capitol is a lot of people go up there and they sled when it snows, and then there's a whole bunch of spectators that just loiter on the street, no less, down at the bottom, and an Academy lawn chair comes in handy there, I'm just telling you. So whether it's sporting goods equipment, whether it's camping equipment, whether it's makeshift sledding equipment, or just the real deal, along with the clothing and all the accessories, Academy Sports and Outdoors, your one-stop shop for it, academy.com. If you can't get there in person, because I can promise you, this will not be the last time that we experience this kind of weather in the South.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts, So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
We move on. I can't believe we're about to broach this subject. My consultants told me never to talk about this again, but I don't even mention the consultants by name for a reason. So let's talk about it. Clayton hit me up from Fort Myers, Florida. He said, can you believe how much whining is coming from the FSU fan base? It's a bit pathetic. Is it, though? I've been targeted by these people. A fringe minority of them. I've been targeted by them. So it's not like I don't know what you're talking about, but could you please, just for a second, anyone out there who feels this way, could you please tell me how you'd handle this differently if it happened to your team? You just went undefeated in a Power 5 conference. You won the conference championship game. You did everything history has told you you have to do to be a playoff team. And then a group of people locked themselves in a room, didn't let you see their process. A bunch of high-profile media types in the interim seem to have targeted you and lobbied openly against you making the playoff. You don't make the playoff, and then everyone kind of tries to pile on you because you're outraged by it. And then your own conference is filing lawsuits against you because you're trying to get out of a dying conference, and it feels like a lot of chips are stacked against you. It feels like media is complicit. It feels like the college football bureaucracy is complicit. I have been accused of being complicit, although I'm not. I just shared opinions on what happened. But nevertheless, how would you respond? If you're a Louisville fan, if you're a Texas fan, all that stuff happened to you. How would you respond? There is no rational fan base. That's why they're called fans. I appreciate that about them. Even when they hate me, I appreciate that about them. You know what would suck? You know what would indicate a dying program? If they just kind of took it. If they said, oh, well. If FSU went in Eeyore mode and said, that's the way the cookie crumbles. Well, that's not them. Never has been them. That's what I appreciate about them. Now, I've been on the receiving end of a lot of the criticism and a lot of the animosity. So I know what they've been saying. I understood that report that came out the morning of the national championship game when I think it was Bill Hancock that said they've had to hire private security for some of the members of the playoff committee. Is that taking it overboard? Of course it is. Has there been a lot of ignorance spewed from some FSU folks? Yes. Yes. I mean, there's a very clear line in the sand you shouldn't cross. Most of them haven't. A few have. That's not indicative of how the entire fan base operates. So now that that PSA is out of the way, it would be one thing if they didn't have reason to be upset. That's when I join you. I can't join you on that. I mean, Florida State folks got every reason in the world to be irate. Now, I told you when it happened, I told you I think that this is going to suck for a little while. There's no two ways about that. But I think long term it's going to pay off for them. I think they'll end up benefiting from it. So my thinking there, which sounded dumb, because how can you benefit from being screwed out of a playoff spot? In that year, you can't. But in the long term, it is my opinion Florida State wouldn't have gone on to win the title. Can't prove that, obviously. So if they made it, I think they go to the semifinal round, they get beat, and that's it. But if they get removed from the equation, they feel like they got screwed out of a spot. And that does something. Like when you feel like you had something, you earned something, and it gets taken from you, it's a very stone cold Steve Austin, Vince McMahon dynamic from the late 90s. And what it does inside your organization is one thing. What it does to your fan base is also another thing. And when you kind of have all that coalesce, there's an energy that you could never manufacture that your program gets, an us against the world mentality that you can preach, you can bang against the trash can all you want to. They got to feel it. Florida State feels it now. Like they truly feel like there's a machine out there and they don't have anything to do with it. They're not inside of it. It's built and it got used against them. I'm not even here to tell you they're wrong about it. We went very in-depth on that. I'm not revisiting that. But they get to have all that UCF energy once upon a time. But unlike UCF back in the day, Florida State's at the head table. They're at what you used to call the Power 5 table. That stuff will never happen to them again. There will be no undefeated season where they're left out because you're going to a 12-team playoff era now. So what just happened to them is very unfortunate. It'll never happen again, but they get to bottle all that up and they get to use it. And in the interim, not that it was any solace for them in the moment, but in the interim, I thought the biggest takeaway for me from the 2023 season was, wow, I guess there's no question about whether Mike Norvell's the real deal or not. Now, they'd come back at you because I've dealt with them, and they'd say, yeah, but we already knew that. Okay, maybe you did. Now the rest of the country knows. And so you got the right coach, you got the right attitude, you've got the right talent roster being built. Like, everything's up, up, up. And you also get to believe the entire world of college football is out to get you and built against you. Where are they watching us? I bet they're watching us in Tallahassee tonight, but I can prove to you, because the live chat told me so, they're watching us in State College, Pennsylvania, Rockmart, Georgia, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We appreciate you guys so much. Remember, kids, this is free. Doesn't cost you or your parents a dime. All you have to do is subscribe to the channel, and it can stay that way. I guess I can let you in a little bit on this. So we're always well above the minimum baseline quotas that we want to hit here. I mean, there's a certain amount of traction that we need to keep the show free. We're always above it. And I'm not saying we're in danger of slipping below it. I never want to come remotely close. So I always want to be outpacing that thing by 100 or 200%. That's why, periodically, I'll remind you, 51% of you are not subscribed to the channel. And then I will look at you, slight wrist pop, and I'll say, why? Why? Just help us out. That's all it takes. Just subscribe. Let's go portal takeaways here. Very interesting. Very interesting. So the transfer portal window is closed. Of course, for teams whose coaches left, they can still move. But overall, I wanted to take a couple of minutes look at this, the quarterback situation especially, because now more so than ever, you have no way of forecasting programs 2 or 3 years down the road, because every transfer portal period comes with teams totally overhauling their quarterback room, which means they overhaul their team. Case in point, Michigan State. Not only do they get a new head coach in Jonathan Smith, he brings his quarterback from Oregon State, Aiden Childs, going to be a really big-time player down the road. Think about what Oregon did. Oregon went and got Dylan Gabriel, who was the starter at Oklahoma. They also went and got Dante Moore, who was the starter at some points of the season for UCLA, totally overhauled the quarterback room. Ty Thompson, gone. Totally overhauled the quarterback room. Kentucky got Will Levis 3 years ago. I got Devin Leary last year. Now they've gotten Brock Vandergriff from Georgia. Never would have known that was coming a year ago. Totally overhauled their quarterback room. Riley Leonard is not at Duke. He's now at Notre Dame. Totally overhauled the quarterback room. And also, our boy Tyler Van Dyke, not at Miami anymore. He goes to Wisconsin. They had Mordecai from SMU last year. If that sounds confusing, it's because it is. It's because just like this, seemingly now, you can change the entire fortune of your team for a coming season by doing what even Ohio State did. They went and got Will Howard. No one would have seen that coming a year ago. I mean, Will Howard's entrenched at Kansas State a year ago. So that's the first thing that you need to know. And I would probably advise you to rewind this portion of the video and watch it again to make sure you know all the new names and faces in the new places. The second thing you need to know is, for yet another cycle, we did not have multiple superstar names enter the transfer portal. Forget about Bama. That's a unique, extenuating circumstance where a coach left. So yeah, some star players from Alabama are going in. But I'm talking about places where there was no coaching turnover, or maybe there even was coaching turnover, but the collectives there had things in order behind the scenes, and they made sure their top-tier players were compensated through NIL to the point where they never hit the open market. And that happened last year. It was a story last year, and it's happened again this year. You just haven't seen. I mean, Quinshon Judkins is one of the few exceptions to the rule. You had the A&M kids go in, which was to be expected. You've got Bama's kids going in. Remains to be seen what would happen with Michigan, but those are exceptions to the rule. By and large, we have not seen a flood of ultra-talented, high-level star players that program tried to spend top dollar to keep and couldn't. So it's being taken care of on the front end, out of public view in most cases. What about USC's dilemma. Maybe we'll call it a dilemma. We'll see. I got a stance on this. So when Lincoln Riley told the media after the season, I'm overhauling everything philosophically about this program. He went and got UCLA's defensive coordinator. I'm not telling you that story. I'm sorry. I should not have done that. I am sorry about that, but I cannot tell you that story. I had some insight into that process. Let me just put it that way. So when he brought in UCLA's defensive coordinator, Lincoln Riley said, we're changing everything. From the top down, we're changing the way we practice. We're changing the way we think. Defense first. What? Okay. Now, I'm willing to give it a wait and see. It's hard for me to imagine that Lincoln Riley will be a defensive first or defense-oriented head coach. Crazier things have happened. I do think he understands radical change is needed within his program. So, I'm willing to wait and see. But if I was more skeptical, I would say they're not replacing talent for talent. Corey Foreman was gone. Has he underachieved there? Yeah. But formerly, that was one of the top players in the country. Damani Jackson, gone. Cornerback. Malachi Nelson, once upon a time, one of the top quarterbacks in the country. Gone. Now, every USC fan understands, yeah, but Malachi wasn't going to start here. I know all that. Corey Foreman, he had one big moment or two, but he really wasn't an impact player. I know all that, guys. There is a world where they have the potential and you didn't develop them properly. There is that world. There's that possibility. But since I'm in wait-and-see mode, I'm going to look at those kind of guys walking out the door, and I'm going to look at you guys going to UNLV and A&M and Mississippi State and Oregon State and Vandy and taking replacement players in the portal, and I'm going to say maybe Lincoln Riley knows what he's doing. But it does at least deserve a little stroke of the chin. Okay, let's wait and see. I'm happy to wait and see because God affords us to be able to do that in January. Don't have to have definitive opinions on someone's 2024 season in January. Ole Miss, kind of same deal, but I think a lot of folks are more aligned on Ole Miss. Ole Miss has got a little bit different strategy here. Texas does not have to have this kind of strategy. Every year is a year Texas could win the national title. Georgia does not have to have this kind of strategy. Every year is a year that Georgia can win the national title. Ole Miss has to go what I call window shopping, and that is not in the classical sense. They're not looking in a window and taking something that they see. What they're doing is looking for windows. 2024 is a window for them. They've circled it. Schedule is pretty advantageous, and they've gone all in on the portal to put together a team that can compete for a national title in 2024. They've got the number one defensive lineman, number two edge, number three linebacker, number four wide receiver. They've taken seven blue chippers out of the portal. They've done good in recruiting as well. Jackson Dart's back, one of the most filthy receiver rooms in all of college football. Ole Miss will be a legitimate contender this year. Now, the main point of contention that I hear from our Ole Miss viewers is you guys don't think this is a window thing. You think this is just the new normal for Ole Miss. I disagree with that. You may be right, but I would be hard-pressed to see them doing this every single cycle. But we'll see. How about the SEC and Big Ten in general? This is either something to celebrate or it's a big problem depending on your perspective. But the Big Ten and the SEC, predictably, are flexing pretty hard here. 22 of the top 24 committed players in the portal are going to SEC or Big Ten schools. 50 of the top 78 kids out of the portal are going to SEC or Big Ten schools. And the SEC and Big Ten collectively just signed 23 of the top 30 recruiting classes, including 8 of the top 9. There is no more Power 5. There is no Power 4. It is a Power 2, and you decide whatever you want to call the rest. And it's not disrespectful, it's just reality. So those are some of the takeaways I've had thus far from the transfer portal. And as you know, still got some movement happening. And as you also know, I think you know, we have got the post-spring window coming up, which because we've had high-profile coaching changes, could mean teams like Alabama are way, way more active post-spring than they normally would be. There is a little caveat. You can't have interconference movement or intra-conference movement during that window, or the guys have to sit out a year. Isn't that a fun little caveat that I don't think most folks realize right now? So yes, challenging. Nah, yes, but Guys are being handsomely compensated for their work here. Just some generic chapstick. It's not chapstick. You know, when I put on chapstick, what I call chapstick, on air, I say I'm putting on chapstick because I want you guys who are listening just to the podcast to know why there is a brief pause. I'm okay. I'm just putting on chapstick. But I have been dutifully informed that chapstick, like Coke, is a brand. It's not a generic product. And so I'm apparently calling Pepsi Coke here. I am calling Burt's Bees lip balm chapstick. And so I apologize to anyone I've offended out there. But frankly, this company has not paid a dime to be on this desk, so I'll call them whatever I want to. But I'm open to a negotiation. All right, let's dive into the mailbag. We still got a lot to get to, actually. On a good pace, though. Eli from Pine Grove, Mississippi hit me. He says, does Nico Iamaleava and Tennessee have a real shot at the playoffs next year? Now, hold on. I think I heard a lot of you. A lot of you said, no, Tennessee's not making the playoffs. Well, I have it on good authority from our friends at FanDuel that as of today, January 18th, Tennessee has the 14th best odds to win the national title this coming year. Secondly, the answer is yes. The answer is yes, they can make the playoff. The reaction to the question is more interesting to me because I do think there is still a marriage mentally between a lot of college football fans and the old system. And the old system was, you better be one of the top four teams in the country or I don't think you can make the playoff. But you don't have to be that anymore. We've watered the playoff down. Or, as some of you would call it, we've expanded the playoff. There are like 40 teams that can make the playoff this year. You get that, right? We have vastly expanded the amount of teams capable of making it because we have vastly diluted what it takes to be able to make it. So you tell me Tennessee's got Nico returning. Number one, I just need to know that because there are going to be teams that are hot at quarterback and otherwise are flawed football teams that make this tournament. That's just going to be the way it is every year. So the second thing that I think Tennessee could be a poster child for is there's going to be a team or two every year that loses some games, but they find a way in, and they're really good at quarterback. Like, they're flawed, but you look at them and you say, I can see why over the course of a season they lost some games, but they're like a hot three-point shooter in the tournament in March or April. If that guy's hot, I think they could beat anybody. Tennessee, or someone like them, is going to get in here with like two losses or maybe three losses to the right teams, and they're going to have a quarterback that hits his stride in November, and you're going to be saying, man, I know they're an 11 seed, but I got no interest in playing Tennessee. Tennessee and Miami are two of those teams this year because of Cam Ward and Nico, respectively. They play three teams with top 15 title odds. They play at Georgia this year. They play Alabama. They go to Oklahoma. That'll be fun for Josh Heupel. Yes, the answer is yes. Who in the world is saying no, Tennessee has no shot of making a 12-team playoff? It's 12 teams. Yes, they absolutely could do that. And yes, there are like 35 or 40 other teams that I'm going to answer yes to. Next up. Sorry, Colin, I don't think the snap of the fingers really does anything. Let me take a sip from the chalice right quick. This is from Jeffrey. Oh, yeah, I did want to address this. Okay, so Jeffrey said, should I get my hopes up about the sudden energy around my Buckeyes? Your hopes should always be up, Jeffrey. You're an Ohio State fan. Poverty for you guys is winning 11 games. Like, sign me up for that. Yes, yeah, I would be excited if I were you. Now, I know a lot of attention up there and around college football when it comes to Ohio State has been on the way they ended the season with the losses to Michigan and then they lost, or what was left of them, lost to Missouri. And then they hired a new AD, Ross Bjork. Did you miss this headline? Goes to Columbus from Texas A&M this past week. So a lot of people have been paying attention to that. You know what I've been paying attention to? Because frankly, you're going to notice this a lot more than you do the athletic director. The players they've gotten to return for the 2024 season, like JT Tuimoloau did not go to the draft. Jack Sawyer, Denzel Burke, they did not go to the draft. They're all back. Emeka Egbuka, that were a wide receiver, did not go. Travion Henderson, running back, did not go. They added Quinshon Judkins. They added Will Howard at quarterback. They got four returning on the offensive line. The streets are saying this could end up being Ryan Day's best team overall. That's what I'm paying attention to. And whoever the new AD is can sit there in his box and enjoy it. That right there is what I'm paying attention to. And then I couple that with the fact that there is a horrific taste in the mouth of that program right now. And there should be, because they hadn't been good enough to beat Michigan three consecutive years. Ugh, you can't even utter those words. You can't even utter the team's name, much less the fact that you haven't been able to beat them for 3 years. So that right there is exciting. Yes, I'm excited for it, and I'm not even an Ohio State fan. So if you're an Ohio State fan, absolutely you should. Now, here's what I'm curious about, and it granted, it's only January. I'm sure at some point maybe we'll make our way to Columbus this spring. We'll sit down with Ryan Day, and we'll have him explain the answer to the following question. What other changes did he deem necessary to make that aren't so apparent on the surface? That's a question, if you could get any coach to answer it in January, would be fascinating. I want to know specifically from Ryan Day. Sure, if you need to make a new hire or you need to go get a quarterback out of the portal, everybody knows that you have to make a decision there. But what if he subtly decided portions of how we practice on Tuesday have to be overhauled? The philosophy I have on how I fill a job opening for an off-field position within my organization, what we do in nutrition, what we do from a psychological standpoint with guys from March through June, it has to be overhauled. Just subtle things. That's what I'd love to know. That's what I'd really love to know. And I'd love to know how much emphasis has been put across the board because of the way the last three seasons have ended. If you want to get an early jump on how this coming season will end, if you think Ohio State's going to win the title this year, you don't have to sit on that information, friends. You can go to FanDuel right now. They have the second best, Jesse, I think the second best odds to win the national championship this upcoming year, right behind Georgia. Same old there at the top. But if you feel like you've gotten yourself a little edge, if you like what you just heard, I'm not quite ready to bet it, but maybe you are. FanDuel is the place to go. Not to mention, I was looking the other day, I think it was during the Buffalo game. It was KC. It was KC Miami. Any game played below 0 degrees, I'm locked in. I don't care if it's outdoor hockey. I will be locked in once the elements are involved to that degree. And I was looking at the plethora. You know how rarely I use that word. The plethora of live betting options during those games on FanDuel. And it's been a while since I bet the NFL live, because I don't bet for fun. But I know a lot of you do. And man, that's like walking down the cereal aisle at your local grocery store if you love cereal, which I do. It's tough. Like, it's the equivalent of five shelves of Count Chocula when you look at FanDuel live betting options. And frankly, that's where the ad read's going to end, because I could never give you a stronger testimonial than correlating Count Chocula with live betting and during NFL playoffs on FanDuel. You're welcome, guys. Jesse, I don't know how much they paid. They should have to pay more for that. I don't know how much. Actually, I do. They're really good to us. We appreciate them. Exclusive odds provider of Late Kick is FanDuel.
Must be 21 or over and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. First online real money wager only, $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.
I have got two radical takes that portions of our citizenry, our viewership citizenry, sent me that I would just like to address here. Colin, the first one does not need its own individual YouTube treatment, okay? So just know that ahead of time. Once I address this, it will never exist again except on this live broadcast and the corresponding podcast. I'm just going to read this guy's entire name. Uncle Two Day Maction Taylor's Version Tone Setter hit me up, definitely a real person, and said, "You do more harm than good for the sport." Of course, it could be true. So I responded to whatever that dude's name was, and I said, "Could you offer me examples?" Then somebody else jumped into my defense. Then the guy went after that person, and he never answered me. So I'm not quite sure what harm has been done. I would love to know. I don't get 100% approval rating. I look at the comments. So anyone and everyone who does have a problem, anyone who thinks we're bad for the sport around here, I'm happy to listen. I may disagree, but I'm happy to listen. Jesse told me he had a profile built for me. Here it is. So my bio, according to our staff, I know I'm not going to tell you how old I am because age is a social construct. That's why we don't celebrate birthdays in the office. I'm not allegedly 100% correct on all my game predictions. Guys, I've never been wrong on a game prediction. I have hit 100% on game predictions. It is not my fault if kids or coaches or officials screw up. Okay, if you remove that, I've never missed on a pick. What else does it say there? I've got dreams of working an imaginary position as commissioner. There's nothing imaginary about the coming campaign that I will launch to become college football commissioner. Like, I'll just serve in dual roles. My office could be right here. Wears the same pair of sweatpants every day, won't buy new ones. I'll buy new ones when these wear out. Do you understand how big a blessing it is when your sweatpants are so broken in that they naturally ventilate because the crotch is worn out and there's a hole? Nick Saban doesn't have a problem with it. He sat down with us. Mario didn't have a problem with it. Shannon Dawson down there didn't have a problem with it. The folks at the Texas State Fair don't have a problem with it. And if you're listening on podcast, these are just some of the portions of B-roll that Colin's running through. Look, that's a rented suit. I'll grant you that. But Rick Neuheisel and Brian Jones and folks, they didn't have a problem with it. So I would say to whoever this was that submitted this, that you don't really mean that. That's what I'm going to say. Next up, Colin, let's roll on. Too much time was given to that. Southern Rivals Football Show hit us and said, "Pat McAfee saved College Game Day." No shot at Pat McAfee. Got a lot of respect for the guy. I didn't know Game Day needed saving. Now, I will grant you, I'm not the biggest viewer of College Game Day because I'm on the road every week and I am either at a stadium or in a hotel about to go to a stadium on Saturdays, so I hardly ever get to watch Game Day. I see bits and pieces of it. A lot of times, I'm on campus where the broadcast is emanating from. But I've heard people say this. I've heard people say Pat McAfee saved College Game Day. I don't doubt Pat's brought a different tone and attitude to College Game Day. And I don't doubt some of you may not like the broadcast more now than you used to. Some of you may tune in more. Some of you may be turned off by it. I'm sure that's not been a 100% approval rating or 100% focus grouped move that they've made. But I don't doubt any of that. What I'm asking is, did they need saving? As far as I can tell, it's still the number one pregame college football show in the land. I think Fox puts forth a great product on Saturday mornings. Our boy Brady does great work over there. But, I mean, Game Day's an institution. It's been around forever. And they needed saving? No, I think they may have needed a strong little shot of adrenaline. And I certainly think that there was upheaval in production this past summer that, probably left a lot of people scurrying behind the scenes, but the product they put on, man, that's second to none as far as I can tell. So I don't think they needed saving. You can say they were doing just fine as was, and that he's added something to it. Because I don't really even think if you got truth serum and Pat McAfee himself, he'd say, "I saved College Game Day." The reason I know that is because if Pat McAfee left College Game Day tomorrow, they'd still be fine. Some of you may tune out. Some of you may tune back in. They'd be okay. You know, they may add Nick Saban this fall.
they may. That's the hot rumor on the street right now. Nick Saban may be on College Game Day this fall. So, how do we save late kick? Whomst amongst us could appear on the broadcast that would save this show? People are asking. That's unanswerable. I'm going to leave that for you. We got to get out of here because somehow we have to drive home tonight. So for producer Jesse, for director Colin, I'm Josh Pate. Thanks for watching the show tonight. Enjoy an early start to your weekend. Take care and God bless. Must be 21 or over and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. First online real money wager only, $10 first deposit required, bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit GamblingHelplineMA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.